Thursday, November the 7th, 2024. Welcome back. For the numbers presented by FTNFantasy.com, my name is Adam. Here for the Week 10. Jeez. Week 10 already. It's pretty absurd. The Week 10 preview here on the podcast, going through every single game on the slate in depth, helping you with those fantasy football lineups. Should be a fun week, and Thursday starts us off really well. Ravens at home against the Bengals. Last time these teams played earlier this season, it was one of the three best games of the year, probably. So, should be a fun one. And of course, we'll break that down as well as the remaining games on the slate. I believe we have four teams on bye. Injuries continue to play a huge role in fantasy. But of course, we'll break everything down. And of course, check out FTNFantasy.com for all of the content you may need. Rankings from myself, Jeff Ratcliffe, Scott Spratt, Chris Meany, Jeremy Popolars, Mike Randall, being updated every single day. Some of the best rankings in the industry. Of course, there's also the Advanced Stats Hub, which I reference a million times on this podcast. Tools, you know, the wide receiver cornerback matchups, the shadow index, the new trade starts, or this new start sit tool we have. We have trades, so we have everything. Everything at FTNFantasy.com. Check it out. And once again, podcast brought to you by the amazing people over at Circa. Circa Millions and Circa Survivor, those contests running, enter in Nevada or go to circasports.com for the details. Again, those, what, four or five picks against the spread each week? It sounds so easy, but it rarely happens that way. But it's your chance to win and play some cool contests for football over at Circa Sports. Check them out today. Let's get right to it with Thursday Night Football. Ravens hosting the Bengals. Bengals still pretty shorthanded here. T. Higgins listed as doubtful, so he's probably not going to play once again. Zach Moss lands on injured reserve. The team just traded for Khalil Herbert, but how much of a role will he be able to play after 2 days with the team? So it seems like it's going to be another massive workload for Chase Brown, who, you know, not to this extent, but he saw 32 touches with Moss out last week. He had 100% of the team's running back touches. He also, the thing I mentioned about, and it's going to be huge for a matchup like this, look, he played 80% of snaps. He got all the touches. He was a factor in the passing game. It was against the Raiders. It's a great matchup. This is one of the worst matchups for running backs. And we had seen Chase Brown over the past couple weeks slowly start to take more work away from Moss and was pretty much operating as the 1A. But what was really holding him back from being a consensus, no question, must-start running back each week was the lack of usage in the passing game. And Zach Moss has been, all season long, the trusted player on third downs in the two-minute drill, and it capped Chase Brown's upside because if the Bengals were playing from behind or in the hurry-up, he wasn't getting on the field. He's played, I think, 14% of the snaps this year. That's it. On third and medium or third and long. Obviously, he played almost the whole game last week, but Khalil Herbert has not been a great pass-blocking running back in his career. So, yes, will he play on Thursday and maybe play a couple snaps? Sure, but like going forward, I think there's a chance we can see Chase Brown actually get that two-minute drill and third down, third and long roll on top of getting like 15 to 18 touches per game. So Ravens, tough matchup, but he's still a must-start running back and probably going to be close to it going forward as well. Obviously, you're starting Ja'Marr Chase. Interesting thing with Ja'Marr Chase, though, that I found with and without T. Higgins. So like he's seen 11 targets the past 2 weeks in the games Higgins has been out. It's elite volume, obviously. But his usage has been different. There haven't been those explosive plays over the top. His yards per reception have been down. And if you look at the games where he's played with T. Higgins, he has an average depth of target of 10.4. But in the, I think, four games with Higgins out of the lineup, Chase's ADOT drops all the way to 5.3. And I think a huge reason behind that is simply just bracket coverage, right? Like, the yardage totals haven't been high in the games Higgins has been out. I think teams are just playing bracket coverage. The volume's still great. He's still going to get end zone targets, but the Ravens is such a good matchup, though. Obviously, we've seen what Chase alone did to them. Opposing wide receiver ones averaging 95.6 receiving yards per game against the Ravens, second most in the NFL. They give up a lot of explosive plays, most completions of 20 plus yards. 78.7% of the yardage against the Ravens has come through the air. That's the highest rate in the NFL. 11 yards per completion, almost 320 air yards per game, most in the NFL. So great spot for Chase. I'm still comfortable starting Burrow. He had 5 touchdowns last week without Higgins, so I like him. And then Mike Gesicki remains a borderline top 10 tight end. You look at the games he's played without T. Higgins this season. He's averaging 6.8 targets, 5.5 receptions, just over 70 receiving yards, and just under 16 PPR points per game. Good matchup for him as well. So good spot for the pass catchers for Baltimore, and I guess for the Bengals, rather. And I guess if you're really in a flex desperation spot, he'll have to score, but Andre Yoshivas should be out there. For the Ravens, it's pretty simple. I mean, Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry, the two best players at the position. You're starting them every week. Lamar Jackson, though, averaging 0.80 fantasy points per dropback. It's the most by a quarterback since 2019 by Lamar Jackson. He's been unbelievable. Bengals allow the fifth most fantasy points per game to quarterbacks, as well as the most rushing yards per game to quarterbacks at 33.7. So that should be fun. Zay Flowers coming off a massive game with 5 for 127 and 2 touchdowns. He had 7 catches for 111 yards against the Bengals last time out. And he'll probably see some coverage from Cam Taylor-Britt, who has been terrible. 4 touchdowns, 15 yards per catch this season. He's bottom 15 in air yards per target at 13.6 and yards per route covered at 1.4. So, yeah. Deontay Johnson played, 13 snaps in his debut last week. Short week, I wouldn't expect him to play a ton more, maybe 20 to 25. So, Zay Flowers, massive target shares. He's a must-start player. And, of course, so is Derrick Henry. We have a game in Germany between the Panthers and Giants. Not the most fun game. But there's plenty for fantasy, including Tyrann Tracy, who looked like he could have missed last week's game with a concussion, but he cleared, he played, and since week 5, he's been the clear lead back for the Giants, 70% of the snaps since week 5, averaging 18 touches and just under 15 PPR points per game during that span. And now he gets a great matchup with the Panthers, who are allowing the most fantasy points and rushing touchdowns per game to opposing running backs. So Tracy is a top 15 running back pretty easily. You should definitely start him if you have him. It's been a little bit frustrating for Malik Nabers. The targets have been there. It's just there's been, he had, zero. Well, I guess obviously Daniel Jones had 0 yards at halftime last week, but this could be the get-right spot for him. The problem with the Giants' passing game has been the loss of Andrew Thomas at left tackle. He's the best in the league. I think that, there's been 3 games now since they've lost Andrew Thomas. During that span, Daniel Jones has been under pressure on 43% of dropbacks with an average time to throw of 2.4 seconds. So he's been getting the ball out immediately, getting pressured almost immediately. But now they maybe get a sigh of relief facing Carolina's defense that is dead last in pressure rate, just over 11%. So I think that's going to help Malik be able to have time to get those downfield routes and have that upside unlocked. So still comfortably starting him. Wandale is a low floor, okay wide receiver 3 in full PPR leagues. And Daniel Jones is on the streaming radar once again. Gave you the rushing. Panthers defense is terrible. And then for Carolina, Xavier Leggett, the past 2 games with Deontay Johnson out, and obviously he's traded, but 22.5% target share. He's getting a lot of those RPO targets that Johnson was getting. He's an okay flex. I still don't really want to play Jalen Coker unless I'm really desperate. And Jonathan Brooks will make his debut, it looks like. He was at least activated, but we'll see if he actually plays on Sunday. Either way, you're not starting him. You're still starting Chuba Hubbard, who's been just fantastic, really, since week 3. And the Giants' run defense is pretty bad. That game's easy. Let's move on to the Steelers at the Washington Commanders. Keep an eye on Brian Robinson in this game. Didn't play last week. Eckler has played two games without Robinson this season, averaging 14 touches, just over 14 PPR points per game. And for what it's worth, the Steelers are allowing the sixth most receptions and fifth most receiving yards per game to opposing running backs. So Eckler would be a viable running back too. Still like an okay flex because they have been limiting Brian Robinson's work in the games. He's been on the injury report for like a month now, so he's probably going to be at least a little bit limited. And Eckler's pretty much scored double-digit fantasy points, I think, in all but one game this season anyway. So, you know, we have bye weeks, we have players hurt. He'd still be a viable flex play if Robinson does return. Terry McLaurin, obviously starting him, he's just been fantastic. There was that one, weeks one through two stretch where it looked like, well, what is this usage? It's all screens and behind the line of scrimmage and all this nonsense. And then since week three, it's just been everything we'd hoped to see from Terry McLaurin. Since week three, McLaurin, third in receiving yards with 559, third in touchdowns with six. He's averaging 18 PPR points per game. He's second in 100-yard games with three. He's fourth in yards per out run. He's third in EPA per target, and he leads the NFL with 10 end zone targets during that span. He's been phenomenal. The deep ball connection with Jaden Daniels has been as good as it gets. And the Steelers, yes, they have Joey Porter, who's a good player on the outside, but they play, I think, a top six rate in terms of single high. So, yeah, I mean, what we really want to see from Terry McLaurin is those vertical deep balls over the top from Jaden Daniels. And against this team that runs a lot of single high, those opportunities should be there. So Daniels obviously starting him. McLaurin's a top 15 to 18 wide receiver. And, I mean, Zach Ertz is kind of where he's been, like tight end. 15 to 17, low floor, hopefully he scores. Or low ceiling, hopefully he scores. The Commanders are on the defensive side of the ball, making moves, trading for Marshawn Lattimore. And this is massive for them because over the past two seasons, wide receiver ones have averaged 93 yards per game against them. They've been just the worst at defending top wide receivers. So I don't think the scheme will be all that difficult to pick up for Lattimore too, because it's, you know, Dan Quinn is doing what the Saints have done. It's playing a lot of man coverage. So we'll see how better they get, how much better they get. I'm still comfortable starting George Pickens, who, man, he's so close to having just a much better season. I mean, last time we saw him play, two touchdowns called back or close to touchdowns. He scored right now about 20 fewer fantasy points than expected, according to the FTN fantasy expected fantasy points tool. He's just been so close. And I know Lattimore's there now, but Russell Wilson's played well, and that connection on the deep ball has been great too. Speaking of Russell Wilson, I mean, since he's become the starting quarterback for the Washington or for the Pittsburgh Steelers, he's fifth in fantasy points per dropback. He has a end zone throw rate of 15.8%, which is the highest rate among quarterbacks. And he's fifth in ADOT at 10, averaging three go route pass attempts per game. So he's kind of doing what we expected him to do, but he's played well. Washington's defense has played better, but it's been a lot of bad offenses too. I kind of like Russ in this game. They add Mike Williams as well, who's going to fit what he wants to do pretty seamlessly, in my opinion. So I kind of like Russ in this game. Najee Harris should get 18 to 20 carries once again. Commanders allowing the highest explosive run rate in the NFL at 16.3%. Harris has looked pretty good the last couple weeks, too. So he's a top 20, borderline top 20 running back, maybe top 24. And Jalen Warren is a middling flex play at the very best. All right, let's do one more game before we take our first break. And we'll go to the AFC West with the Broncos at the Chiefs. How about DeAndre Hopkins on Monday with two touchdowns? We've seen him in his two games with Kansas City play on the outside about 63% of the time. So a little bit more than I expected. So that means we'll probably see him see a good bit of Patrick Surtain, who has shadowed opposing wide receivers or top wide receivers on over 50% of routes five different times this season. He hasn't really gone into the slot too much. So Hopkins will probably be in there 30 to 40% of the time. And he has a solid 25% target per out run rate since joining the Chiefs. He's pretty much filling that Rashee Rice role, getting A handful of targets off slant routes, I think three over the past 2 weeks to be exact. So Hopkins is, you know, I still don't think he's like a top 15 wide receiver or anything like that, but it was a great matchup against Tampa Bay. He's a top 32 wide receiver for sure, though. I'd be pretty fine starting him with lower expectations, obviously, against the Broncos pass defense. Interesting thing about this matchup, too, is the blitz. We know the Broncos blitz at a top five rate in the NFL, but if you go back to week eight of last season, which was when the last time these teams played, Vance Joseph didn't blitz Mahomes really at all. The Broncos blitz Mahomes on 9 of 45 dropbacks in that game. So I'm interested to see if he stays with the blitz or doesn't in this game. For what it's worth, Travis Kelce, the last 2 weeks in particular, 35% target share against the blitz. Obviously, starting him every single week. And Kareem Hunt, since week five, averaging an absurd 25.5 touches per game. Here's a list of the following players averaging more touches per game than Kareem Hunt in that stretch. End of list. Nobody's averaging more. He's played well. Must start player until Isaiah Pacheco returns, which sounds like it won't be for at least a couple more weeks. Xavier Worthy, I mean, good luck. This is kind of the player we expected. Really boom bust. He's had a couple plays where he's been so close to connecting with Patrick Mahomes on some like 50 plus yard touchdowns. But if he hasn't hit those, as we saw last week, where I think he scored minus fantasy points, the floor is pretty low. And like, even though, you know, even if you have Surtain on DeAndre Hopkins, I mean, Riley Moss on the other side is pretty good too. For the Broncos, not much here for me. I'm not starting anybody in this backfield against the Chiefs. The Chiefs are allowing 50.9 rushing yards per game to opposing backfields this season. That's not 50.9 rushing yards per game to opposing like running backs or lead running backs. That's the entire backfield. And they faced Derrick Henry, Bijan Robinson, Alvin Kamara. They faced the elite of the elite. And it just hasn't worked out. So do not start the Broncos running backs in this game. Sutton's a wide receiver 3. And Bo Nix, a viable quarterback 2. Probably going to have to throw a lot in this game. Chiefs have been a massive pass funnel. And Bo does give you some rushing floor, averaging 6.4 rushing attempts and almost 33 rushing yards per game this season. We will take our first break of the episode. When we come back, we go from the AFC West to the NFC South. Falcons at the shorthanded Saints. A lot more than that as well on the Week 10 preview podcast here on For the Numbers. Don't move. We'll be right back. Falcons at the Saints. And this Saints team is really beat up. Obviously, Rashid Shaheed out for the year. Chris Olave, unfortunately, concussed again. The running backs are hurt. Kendra Miller's on IR. Jamal Williams is banged up. So this offense is going to go through Alvin Kamara, who had 35 touches last week. Excuse me. You're starting him. It really comes down to Kamara, who you're starting, and Taysom Hill, who could be a borderline top 10 tight end. Like, last 2 weeks when he's been healthy, 42% snap share, which isn't great, but he's averaging 9 opportunities, so carries plus targets, 9 opportunities per game during that span. Scored a rushing touchdown last week, scored 2 against the Falcons earlier this season. Like, right now, he's essentially playing backup running back, tight end, and receiver. Because their second and third string running backs are hurt. Their top 2 receivers, and you can add Bub Means, they're all out. So yeah, Taysom Hill, he also could throw a pass or two there, here and there. So have to feel pretty good about him, honestly. Other than that, though, unless you're in a really deep league, Cedric Wilson would probably be the receiver I would look to. But I unless you're in a really deep league, I would not want to go there. For the Falcons, it's kind of wheels up. This offense has been the best offense in the NFL for the past 4 weeks. Opposing lead running backs are averaging over 20 fantasy points per game against the Saints since week 3. Chuba Hubbard scored over 20 last week. Bijan Robinson has scored at least 20 fantasy points in PPR formats in 4 straight games. It's a great spot for him. I don't even hate if you wanted to flex Algier if you're desperate as a flex option. Have to keep an eye on Drake London. He left last week's game with a hip. Was limited in practice on Wednesday. Darnell Mooney's kind of pushed like must-start territory anyway, but he would be even more of a must-start player if we get Drake London out. And again, the Saints defense now missing Marshawn Lattimore. So you start London if he's there. You start Mooney if he's not, but you probably start both receivers no matter what anyway. And Kyle Pitts, it was bound to happen, right? But still a top 10 tight end each week. Bills at the Colts. Jonathan Taylor has been back for 2 weeks from the high ankle sprain. During that span, he's played 76.5% of the snaps and handled 73% of the Colts' rushing attempts. We obviously see the Colts now with Joe Flacco at quarterback, and they changed their offense around quite a bit last week. They went way more under center, way more under center. It's like over 30% of the time. And then we saw the highest usage of 12 personnel from this offense in a long time. A long time. And that actually took Josh Downs off the field for whatever reason. They don't want their best receiver on the field. Of course, it didn't matter because Josh Downs still had like 9 targets. He just, whenever he was out there, he did see a target. I don't think they can, you know, maybe it was more of an effort to just establish a run, get Jonathan Taylor going. They can't continue. Like, their offensive performance against the Vikings, and it obviously was a talking point when you bench Anthony Richardson and then come out and have that performance on offense. It was the worst performance they had on offense in terms of, like, EPA per play all year long. So I don't know if they can go back to that high usage of 12 personnel. So the more you want, the more you get Josh Downs on the field, the better this offense is going to be. And we know he's been great with Joe Flacco. In the games with Flacco this season, averaging 9.8 targets, 7.5 catches, 17.4 PPR points per game, around a 27% target share with Flacco at quarterback. And, you know, the Bills, they are a team that allows more production into the slot. They play a lot of cover two. Downs just smashes against cover two and against zone defense. Buffalo is also allowing 10.6 targets per game to the slot, 6th most in the NFL. So let's get more snaps for him, please. Because there's legitimate upside, especially if the Bills get out early in this game, for Josh Downs to see like 12, 13 targets. Michael Pittman, he doesn't look right. He is still dealing with this back that was originally supposed to put him on IR. Now he's got a dislocated finger. He just looks like he shouldn't be playing, so I really don't want to start him. It's really just Taylor and Downs. Taylor, he has not been efficient on the carries he's seen with Joe Flacco this season, but the Bills, we know the run defense is very vulnerable. They allow the 3rd most yards before contact per attempt at 2.5, and we did see 5 targets for Taylor with Flacco last week. Joe Flacco, 16.3% checkdown rate is 4th highest among quarterbacks, whereas Anthony Richardson's was 6.5%. It was the 2nd lowest, and the Bills allow the most receptions, targets, and receiving yards per game to opposing running backs, so should be a better spot for Jonathan Taylor this week. For the Bills, Keon Coleman, it sounds like he's probably going to miss some time with his wrist issue, which Amari Cooper is dealing with one of his own. I expect Cooper to be back, but like, I hope Cooper's back and fully acclimated in the offense, because I'd like to start him here as a low-end wide receiver too. Colts secondary is not one we need to fear. Khalil Shakir is probably a must-start player for me. He's just been so good. The offense is flowing through him. Shakir leads all wide receivers, according to the FTN Fantasy Stats Hub, in success rate, and he's top 5 in EPA per target. He has at least 6 catches in 3 straight games. He's just been awesome. The screens are designing for him, the yak he's providing. Borderline must-start player for me. Definitely if Keon's out, too. Kincaid still kind of sits in that tight end 10 to 12 range. He's going to have some good games. He's going to see like 6 to 8 targets most weeks. And then James Cook. I know some people are frustrated with the game that he had, and Ray Davis had the long touchdown, but like, it was a blown coverage play by Miami, and then Ray Davis made a good play. James Cook couldn't score a touchdown. The one thing I will say is we did see in a close game down the stretch, Ray Davis got back-to-back carries from inside the 5-yard line. Couldn't convert, but James Cook still saw 5 catches. He's still been, You know, I think it's 15 games now since last year when Joe Brady took over. During that span, James Cook still averaging about 16 fantasy points, about 18 touches per game, nearly 95 scrimmage yards per game. He's still been pretty damn good. Better days ahead. And the Colts run defense, not very good either. They're allowing 2.9 yards before contact per attempt on man duo concept runs, which is what the Bills run game is literally modeled after. So good spot for James Cook to bounce back here. And Josh Allen, you should probably start him. Vikings at Jacksonville. Probably a spot where you just say start all the Vikings. Obviously, Justin Jefferson. Don't have to say much about him. Has a 33.6% target share against man coverage. Jacksonville plays pretty much as much man coverage as anybody. It's good for Sam Darnold, too. Darnold has been pretty good against man coverage. 14 touchdowns, one pick against man. And he's second in the NFL with a 9.2 yards per attempt. Jacksonville allowing 23.4 fantasy points per game to quarterbacks. He's second most in football. They're also dead last in EPA per dropback. So Darnold's a top 10 quarterback for me. TJ Hockenson. Saw him return last week. Made his season debut. As expected, a little bit limited. Played 45% of the snaps. Ran a route on 63% of dropbacks. Four targets, three catches, 27 yards. Probably a high-end tight end two, low-end tight end one until we see him full go. Matchup's obviously great, so even on like 55 to 60% of snaps, he could have, you know, 4 for 55 and a touchdown pretty easily. Aaron Jones, must-start player. Hasn't been great lately, but still have to keep playing that volume. And Jordan Addison is a high-end wide receiver three with upside each week, but especially in matchups like this. Jacksonville, meanwhile, the backfield's gross. Travis Etienne returned. Bigsby still led the way with 52% of the snaps. Etienne played 31%. D'Ernest Johnson got in there because they were chasing points, which will happen when they're chasing points, which will happen a lot because they're not very good. I don't want to play anybody from this backfield, especially against a stout Vikings run defense. It's really just Brian Thomas Jr. and Evan Ingram. 10 targets last week for Ingram with Kirk out. In six games without Kirk, he's now averaging right around 10 targets and 18 PPR points per game. So you like that. And Brian Thomas Jr., he's just been fantastic this season. So keep playing him. Vikings have been bad against wide receivers as long as the quarterback has time to complete them because they send all those exotic blitz packages at you. Patriots and Bears, this game is not too exciting either. Ramondre Stevenson keeps having these weird games where he's not getting a lot of yards but scores short touchdowns. He's still the Bears, the run defense is the weakest part of the defense, rather. So, like, Stevenson is, you know, in that low end RB2 range, but I'm not overly excited to start him. The offense obviously just looks better, though, with Drake May at quarterback, and he's giving you some good rushing games. So he's in that kind of, 14 to 18 range of quarterback for me. Bears pass defense is not to be messed around with, but Drake May's playing well. He's giving you, he can give you like 40 to 60 rushing yards. I probably don't want to start any wide receivers. I think Pop Douglas is even a little bit banged up right now. So not much for me for the Patriots. And then the Bears, hasn't really been much better. Caleb's been awful. They had that London game. They hit their bye. And ever since then, they've completely fallen off. Caleb has been awful, especially on deep passes. DJ Moore has been unbelievably bad. Rome, it's good to see him. He's been way more involved post-bye week. So that is insanely encouraging. But he's still a low-floor wide receiver three. Keenan Allen has been a massive failure for this team. The only player you can safely start is DeAndre Swift, who's been awesome since week four. He's averaging like 22 touches per game. He's been a top 10 fantasy running back. Patriots run defense is not good. So Swift's a must-start player. Rome and DJ Moore are now both wide receiver threes with pretty low floors. The floor in this passing game right now is pretty scary. Tampa Bay and San Francisco. Christian McCaffrey. How much is he going to play? It looks like he's going to make his season debut here. Simply put, I'm not expecting 25 to 30 fantasy points from him, even though the matchup's awesome. But if Christian McCaffrey is on my fantasy team and I've been sitting here 9 weeks waiting to have him back, I'm starting him. It's kind of that simple. George Kittle, must start. Deebo Samuel, must start. And if Juwan Jennings plays, I like him as a high-end flex wide receiver three. We've seen the upside he has when one of the receivers is out. And then Brock Purdy, I think, is in a great spot too. He's a top, I think, almost top eight quarterback for me. Tampa Bay, most fantasy points per game allowed to quarterbacks. They're playing this really soft zone coverage. And if the blitz doesn't get home, it's over. So I'm kind of starting all of the San Fran skill players in this game. For Tampa Bay, Kate Otten, he's been unbelievable since the wide receivers have been out for Tampa Bay. He's a must-start top six tight end. He's the only must-start player. Baker's been good enough without his receivers the past 2 weeks, so if you've been starting him, I don't think you have to just, you know, go to the bench. And one of those spots was in Kansas City, too, so I'm still okay starting Baker. Like, for instance, like if Nico Collins isn't back for the Texans, I'm still starting Mayfield over somebody like C.J. Stroud. And the backfield, I mean, like, if I had to choose one, it'd still be Rashad White. They're getting good usage in the passing game, but all three running backs are playing, so it's really tough. All right, I think we're on to the 4 o'clock games. We're actually making some pretty good time here. Some of the games have been pretty easy, so yeah, let's do it. Titans, Chargers up next. How about the Chargers? First few weeks of the season, it was like, oh man, this is exactly what we thought we would see from Jim Harbaugh and Greg Roman, just 1980s, play defense, run the football down your throat. But they had their bye in week 6 or week 5. Since week 6, whatever it is, week 6, week 7, since the game after their bye, the Chargers lead the NFL in neutral script pass rate. That's fun, because when you watch these games, you get to remember that Justin Herbert's pretty damn good. And when he throws the football, good things happen. Titans, tough defense. This is a pretty ugly game for fantasy. You have two really, really good defenses. But we're seeing the Chargers throw more, which is making it a little bit more appealing. Ladd McConkey has been awesome. He has at least 6 targets in all but one game this season. Against man coverage in particular, he's been fantastic. 6 among wide receivers in yards per out run against man. He's 8th in open separation rate against man coverage when you exclude screens at 40%. And his overall target share of 27% is awesome. So Ladd McConkey is on the rise, especially if they're throwing the ball more. He's been this team's most consistent, best wide receiver. Tennessee wants to play man, so I like Ladd McConkey quite a bit here. I'm still pretty worried about getting on the Quentin Johnston hype train. Like, he's still, if you're going to start him, it's a desperation, massive boom bust flex play. Like, yes, he's getting these long touchdowns, but they have been completely broken coverage. And I know they still count the same, but I'm not relying on that. Over on the advanced stats hub at ftnfantasy.com, you can sort receiver stats by how many yards of separation they have. And I sorted it by 5+ yards of separation. Quinn Johnson has the third most receiving yards on receptions of 5+ yards of separation with 123 and 2 touchdowns. And trust me when I say this, that is not a stat that reflects his ability to get open, run routes, and create separation. That is strictly, wow, players messed up on the back end, he was left wide open. So I'm not chasing the points from Quentin Johnson. If you want to pick him up, totally fine with it, but I'm not starting him. And then J.K. Dobbins, must-start player. Tough matchup against the Titans run defense, but he's getting 17 to 20 carries each week, coming off a huge game against Cleveland. You're just not benching anybody getting the type of workload he's seeing, but wouldn't be surprised if this was one of his worst games of the season. On the Tennessee side of things, Calvin Ridley continues to see awesome usage. Since week 6, he's averaging 10 targets per game with a 28% target share and 32% target per out run rate. The matchup last week wasn't great, but he still had a decent floor game. The matchup this week isn't great, but he's just right now probably has a floor of like 8 targets, and he's not being used just vertically down the field on the sideline. They're getting screens, quick slants, a lot of different stuff from him the past couple weeks. So he's a high-end wide receiver three with, you know, top 24 upside. I think it's going to be Mason Rudolph at quarterback again. Like, they keep saying Will Levis is going to start when he's healthy, but I don't know, man. I think there's going to be, like, more play-to-play upside for Ridley if Levis is at quarterback, but the floor and the overall, like, the chance of him getting, like, a 6-for-65 game is going to be much higher if Mason Rudolph stays at quarterback. And then the backfield. I mean, Tony Pollard did not practice at all last week and then goes out and has over 30 touches. In games without Tajay Spears this season, Pollard is averaging 24 touches, and he's 7th in those games in percentage of teams carries at 67% and percentage of team touches at 44.4%. So it's hard to get away from somebody getting all of that volume. Maybe Tajay Spears makes his return this week, but Pollard is still a borderline must-start running back despite a tough matchup against, I believe, the Chargers are the top-ranked defense right now in the NFL, which is being a little bit overlooked, but they played some complete football as of late. Jets at Cardinals. We last saw Garrett Wilson on Thursday have just an insane game with one of the best catches I've ever seen. He's now averaging 9 targets, 6 catches, 88 yards, and 19 PPR points per game since the Jets acquired Davante Adams. His ADOT's been much higher than Adams. Adams has been used more on the quick passes over the middle in the slot. Wilson's been about 45% out wide, 45% slot since they got Adams, so he's doing a little bit of both. He's a must-start player. Adams looked a lot better last week, too. Those releases off the line of scrimmage looked very much like Davante Adams. Cardinals defense doesn't scare me, so still ranking Wilson ahead of Adams, but both players must-start receivers. And Breece Hall has looked pretty good the past couple weeks. He just hasn't gotten in the end zone. And it's been frustrating. We're seeing a lot more Braylon Allen at the goal line than we'd like to, but this could be the get-right spot for him. Cardinals allowing 2.8 yards after contact per attempt this season, second most in football. Touches have been down a little bit, but still starting Breece Hall every week. Just give me some goal line carries, please. Please. He's doing just about everything else. For the Cardinals, we're seeing a little bit of a change in the role from Marvin Harrison Jr., which is really exciting because the first 7 weeks of the season, it was vertical route down the sideline against press coverage. Hopefully you make a play. And sometimes he did. And sometimes he didn't. And if he didn't make those plays in those games, he was going to give you a really, really low floor. But now, the past couple weeks, we're seeing a lot more crossing routes and ways to get in the ball in space and opportunities for him to run routes in space. What a novel concept. Weeks 1-7, Harrison averaged almost 3 targets per game off go routes. But the past 2 weeks, it's down to like 1 target per game. And his slot rate over the past 2 weeks is up about 13%. So that's just going to make him, hopefully, a more consistent, higher floor player each week. He's still like a low-end wide receiver 2 for me, but I feel better about him given the usage we've seen lately. Trey McBride, must-start tight end. James Conner, low-end RB2 for me, but the Jets' run defense is definitely bad. And then Kyler Murray has been, in his good games, he's been really good, and his bad games have been really bad. Variants kind of hurt him with all the rushing touchdowns last week, lost a fumble, but he's still kind of a boom-bust, low-end quarterback 1. I'm in a league where I'm debating if I want to keep rolling with Kyler or play Jared Goff, for instance. Like, I don't think Kyler's somebody you have to say, I drafted him to be my quarterback 1, I have to play him no matter the matchup. Like, I think you can get away from Kyler if you don't love the spot, especially because he's been pretty volatile. Eagles at Cowboys. This game got a lot less exciting. And maybe it did weeks ago when we realized Dallas just isn't a good football team anyway, but now, no Dak Prescott, he's going to be out with the hamstring. Cooper Rush will start at quarterback. CeeDee Lamb, there's optimism will play, but he's dealing with a shoulder issue right now, so it's all bad in Dallas right now. I mean, if CeeDee Lamb plays, I'm starting him, but you remove him from being a top 5, no doubt about it, wide receiver each week to probably like wide receiver 10-12. He does have a lot of, you know, track record with Cooper Rush. Since 2021, he's played 23 games with Cooper Rush under center. In those games, he's averaging 8.8 targets, 6 catches, 74.5 receiving yards, 17.7 PPR points per game. So he's been good, just not the elite CeeDee Lamb of like 23, 24 fantasy points per game that we saw last season. The only question really, because you weren't really starting Jalen Tolbert much anyway, the question is like, do we get away from Jake Ferguson? Like, I think you can pick up Mike Gesicki and start him pretty comfortably over Ferguson. Obviously, Kate Otten wasn't a question before this anyway. Maybe Taysom Hill. I think you can absolutely have those discussions. Ferguson's stats with Cooper Rush are terrible, but he's also a rookie, so not the same player, not the same role. Ferguson probably gets dropped to like the Kincaid range for me, where before that he was like the tight end 7 to 8 range. So he's probably in like 11, 12 range. I'm cool still kind of rolling him out there and hoping he has a good floor, but I'm also cool if you get away from him depending on the options. We did see Rico Dowdle have his best game of the season in terms of usage last week, set season highs with a 71% snap share, season high with 5 receptions, and rush share at 57%. Starting to play more on third downs and passing downs, which is great to see. So they'll probably have to keep relying on him for 15 to 18 touches per game, which puts him in the low-end running back 2 range against the Eagles. Very much improved defense. They've been awesome the past 4 weeks, but where else are they going to go with the football? And for the Eagles, let's keep it short and sweet. As long as A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith are good to go, you play them every week. You play Jalen Hurts every week. Dallas' defense has been terrible. Maybe they get Micah Parsons back. It won't be enough. And it looks like Dallas Goedert is on track to return. So he's somebody that I don't love when this team's fully healthy, especially in terms of getting end zone targets. But he's probably going to be, for me, like tight end 13, 14, 15. Like a lot of these waiver wire guys, I would still play over Dallas Goedert, for instance. All right, let's take one final break before we close out the podcast with the last couple games on the slate. Thanks for your patience. Hopefully you have a snack, a beverage, something to keep you occupied as you just get lost in all of the fantasy goodness here for week 10. We'll be right back to close out the show. Don't go anywhere. All right, the two primetime games. We'll go to Sunday night. Lions at Texans. This is the week that Nico Collins is eligible to return. Didn't practice Wednesday. I really hope he returns, and so does CJ Stroud. I mean, CJ Stroud has been unstartable in fantasy without Collins. He is outside of the top 20 quarterbacks in fantasy points per dropback. On top of not having his number one receiver, obviously now Stephon Diggs out for the year, he was unbelievably awful against the Jets last week, and the offensive line's been a train wreck. He's getting pressured a ton. He's been bad under pressure. Simply put, Lions pass rush not the same without Aiden Hutchinson, but they just traded for Za'Darius Smith. You cannot start CJ Stroud in fantasy unless Collins is good to go. You just can't do it. If Collins is good to go, I'm playing him. He hasn't had any setbacks, so I expect him to be close to full go. And Tank Dell is a top 25 wide receiver if Collins is out, and still a high-end wide receiver 3 probably if Collins is in. Obviously, the Lions, a pass-funnel defense. Their secondaries play much better, but that's still where you want to attack them. Of course, that doesn't mean you're benching Joe Mixon, who has been pretty much getting 24 touches per game and finishing as, on average, like a top 5 running back each week in the games he's fully played this season. This offense is quite literally running through Joe Mixon. For the Lions, both running backs must start players. Gibbs had a little bit of an injury, so his snaps were limited. He was like under 40%, but he should be fine. Something to keep an eye on, but he should be fine. Montgomery, you start him. You start Gibbs. You start Amon-Ra. Jameson Williams, I think, could be back for this game, so he returns to being a boom-bust wide receiver 3. And Sam Laporta is kind of, you can get away from Laporta. Like, again, Gesicki, some of these players, you can get away from him. It's been a frustrating season. And we'll close it out with Monday's game between the Dolphins and Rams. Kyren Williams, he played all but one snap in a game that went to overtime. Like, just insane usage from him. Didn't score, I believe. Did he score? I don't think he scored. So, if you faced Kyren Williams last week, you got the lucky straw of the week he didn't score, but I'm sure that'll change this week. Cooper Kupp got the value because Puka Nacua was ejected early in this game on Sunday. Both must-start players. Stafford, surprise, surprise, has been a top 15 fantasy quarterback, probably top 12, actually, over the past couple weeks with his wide receivers healthy. I like him as a borderline QB1 again. It's just this offense, like I mentioned all the time, is a top 5 offense in the NFL when they're fully healthy. And they are right now. So, and DeMarcus Robinson, I've had to start him in a couple leagues where I've been desperate. Like, he's out there, but, you know, not going to benefit every week from Puka throwing a punch and getting ejected. Dolphins, I mean, Devon Achane's usage in the passing game is insane. Like, he is literally the RB1 or RB1A, whatever you want to call it, and the wide receiver 2 for the Dolphins. It's insane his pass game usage in the games 2 has played. And then it continued on Sunday against the Bills, which we expected. Raheem Mostert fumbled in the third quarter and had one touch the rest of the way. Now, does that carry over to this week? I don't know, but Mostert's probably going to be a little bit more touchdown dependent. We've seen him get goal line work 2 weeks ago. But it was all HN once Mostert fumbled. Jalen Waddle was completely non-existent for pretty much all of this game and then scored late in the game. He has been a massive disappointment. Like, even the games when Tua has been active. Like, I talk about this a lot with the Dolphins because Tyreek gets all the pre-snap motion targets and all the scheme targets, and then Achane gets the wide receiver 2 usage now. It makes Waddle, like, man, I don't think I can start Waddle. Like, even with the receiver injuries we've had, there's also still too many receivers that have passed him that you probably aren't even questioning, right? Josh Downs, you're starting him over Waddle. Tank Dell, you're starting him over Waddle. Obviously, the rookies, Brian Thomas Jr. is starting him over Waddle. Ladd McConkey, you're starting over Waddle. There's just so many guys that have clearly passed him that you aren't even debating who to start. On top of the fact that his usage is just not there. Like, Jonnu Smith is getting more work than him. Jonnu Smith has like 6+ targets in like 3 straight games. He's getting a lot of those schemed screen targets, and he's always been good after the catch. So I like Jonnu Smith straight up more than Jalen Waddle this week. And I have Jonnu as a top 13, 14 tight end. Rams have been bad against tight ends. I think Jonnu's a good play. Tyreek obviously is starting. Achane's a must start. Tua's a top 15 quarterback. And yet, here we are with Waddle, who I just... And Tua's played well. It's not even that Tua's played bad. It's just they don't make it a real effort to get in the football like they do with Tyreek and Devon Achane. And it makes sense because those guys are just otherworldly football players. But Jalen Waddle is also really good, but it's tough. He's very clearly third right now in terms of the targets. And you can make the case he can be fourth on any given week with Jonnu Smith. But that will do it for me here for week 10. Appreciate everybody listening. As always, it's a bit of a long podcast. This one hasn't been as bad, though, with 4 teams on bye. It's around 50 minutes, so could be a lot worse. But always, appreciate everybody rocking with me every single week and rocking with FTNFantasy.com. Again, check out all the content. Football, whatever you need. Basketball started. How about my Cavs? 8-0, hopefully 9-0 when you're listening to this. We're doing a lot of awesome stuff with data for basketball that I'm excited to take a look and start working on. And of course, we have content for DFS, betting, stuff like that every single day with the NBA. So best of luck in week 10. Hopefully Thursday's game gets you off to a good start. And I think it's going to be a good one. Ravens, Bengals, I'm excited for it. Let's hope we get off to a good start in week 10. This has been FTN Fantasy. My name is Adam. Thanks for listening as always. We will talk to you next time. Peace.